Oh, everyone's so responsive today. That's fun. Normally, you have to be like, good morning. Is anybody awake here? You have the cue. It's a privilege and an honor to be speaking today. This word has definitely been burning on my heart for quite a long time. And first, I'm going to be showing a little video clip from Lord of the Rings. Is everyone pretty familiar with it? Is there anybody that doesn't know about Lord of the Rings? Put up your hand. No? Good. I don't have to explain. So I'm just going to show the clip, and then I will pray after, and then we'll get going.
Do this, Sam. I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. The shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something. Even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam?
You can stop it there. So, well, yeah, not that face, but sorry about that. Just that question, what are we holding on to, Sam? What are we holding on to? And that question, when I was just watching that clip, that question just repeated over and over in my mind. And through this whole season of what we have been going through, that's the one question that has been going through my mind consistently. Just it'll pop up randomly throughout the day. And it was, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? And I have to constantly reassess and examine my heart and just figure out, what am I holding on to? Is it Jesus or is it something else? And so I love, it's called Sam's speech because that's Sam that's talking. And I just love what he says. It's just, it's about the great story. It's like the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. They were full of darkness and danger. Sometimes you didn't want to know the end because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. So when you're looking back, it's only a passing thing. It is tiny in the scheme of all eternity. Even darkness must pass, and a new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. They had chances of turning back, only they didn't, because they were holding on to something. So it just reminded me of all the stories in the Bible, too, of all the past people that have gone before us. And so many of them had chances to turn or chances to stop what they were doing or quit because it seemed hopeless, but they didn't because they were holding on to something. They were holding on to the hope of Jesus. They were holding on to it. In the Bible, the word hold fast is mentioned a lot of times. So hold fast to him, serve him, and hold fast to him, referring to God. keep his commands, serve him, hold fast to him. So I was looking up what hold fast means, and it means being bound together as one flesh, like a man is united with a wife, tightly secured, clinging on. So what I was, it's like you're just one. So you're hold fast to Jesus. It's like you're one, because we are one with him, but it's meaning you're not going to let him go. You're holding fast to him. You're tightly secured in that. You're clinging on for your life. Like, it's just, you're there. Oh, it's so good. So the one scripture, if we can put up a scripture, Hebrews 12:2. I don't know if it can't, I'll just read it, but therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and our perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're going to kind of break that scripture down a little bit, but therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, so those who have gone before us, it's those who have faced all of the darkness before us and all of the chances to turn, but they didn't. The hall of faith in Hebrews 11, when it talks about every single one of the people of the Bible that went through hell so many times, some died, but it was because of their faith that they were mentioned in the Bible. And it was their great faith in the fact that they did not turn back. They did not walk away. They endured and they held on for dear life, because they were holding on to Jesus. And then it's just, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. So it's just about examining our hearts. So what are we holding on to? What is it that takes our attention, our affection? What is it, just like what Ron was saying here just a bit ago, just about what we're running to, and like, sometimes it's what we think should happen in a situation and the justice that we think should happen. And then we're holding on to that and we're not going to shake with that. And sometimes it's bitterness, or sometimes it's an offense that somebody, how dare they do that? Like, and then you just hold on to it and it just festers and it builds and it builds. And sometimes you don't even realize that you have that bitterness, but it's just a little, it's a quick thought, but you've let it form because you entertained it. But it's holding on. It has a hold on you because you've held on to it. Any kind of idol, in the way that it's not like a statue that has to be built, but it's an idol just taking away our affection and our attention from Jesus, when we should be running to him. And it's something that, like, it's not saying that, oh, you have to throw away your TV and you have to throw away your phone and anything, but it's being mindful of where your heart is in it. If it has your affection, if it has your, oh, I'm just going to instantly run to this all the time, anytime that I'm feeling sad, anytime that I just want comfort, anytime that I just want to feel numb to whatever's going on around me, then it's an idol. That should be Jesus's spot in your life. When you don't want to feel anything, well, go seek Jesus. And that's been hard for me. I'm not saying that it's been perfect for me. This season has rocked me in the way that it's just made me think, what am I holding on to? Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? Because it's all I have left, right? It's just, is he enough? But he is. He's more than enough. Jesus plus nothing is everything. He is enough. And he is the only one that can sustain you. He's the only one that can bring comfort. He's the only one that can be your source. Nothing else will come in the way of that, ever. There, Jesus, when he was talking to the rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler in the Bible in Matthew 19, he starts talking about, well, what do I need to do to get into heaven? And then so Jesus says, well, you have to follow the commandments. And he lists off the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, well, yeah, I have. Good on him. I'm like, that's amazing that he could follow the commandments to a T. But he said, I've done that. And then so Jesus said, okay, well, then I'll take it to a whole new level. Just sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and follow me. And the rich young ruler couldn't do that. He walked away because that was what he was holding on to. That was what he held dear, was what he had on earth. And Jesus comes to the root of what we're holding on to, and he challenges it because nothing is greater than him, and he doesn't need to compete with anything because he's greater. And so, but he challenges it and says, are you ready to give it up? And if your heart, even for a moment, thinks, then yeah, you need to give it up. because if it's even just the glimmer of the thought of, oh, I don't know if I could do with it. No, it's if Jesus is challenging that in your life and asking you to, then you need to get rid of it because he knows. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows the end. He knows the story. Just like when we're watching a movie that we've seen before and we already know what's going to happen and then we're like, yeah, we're satisfied. This guy, he wins in the end like that. No, but we don't. If we were actually in reality right now, we don't know what's going to happen at the end, but Jesus does. And so he's just looking at us and he's like, no, you got this, you got this. I've got you, so you've got this. You can do it. I will see you through. But all we're seeing is the darkness and all we're seeing is stuff being thrown at us and we can't handle it anymore and we're feeling it's too much pain. And that's real. And I'm not saying that that's a bad, like, we all feel that. And sometimes it is too much pain, but we're not meant to endure it alone. He didn't say, oh yeah, you're just going to go and experience pain and I'll stand back. No, he's with us. That's when we have to enter in with him and then we can endure it. If we're just trying to walk through it ourselves, of course we're going to fall. Of course we're going to fail and want to quit. But it's when we enter into it with him. And the feelings of wanting to quit will happen. It's not like, if you're with Jesus, then the feelings and the thoughts will come because we're all human. We're experiencing that. But if those feelings and thoughts come, enter into it with Jesus. And then he will take those thoughts and he'll take those fears because he is so wonderful. And he will do that with you. Jesus wants us to let go and hold on to him. He wants us to let go of everything else that our heart holds dear, everything else that could take our attention, anything else that could cause us to even just have that bitter root, anything that could cause division and anything, strife. He wants us to take that and let it go and hold on to him. And then the next thing in the verse is, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him, so we were the joy before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That is the key, is fixing our eyes on him. It's not looking at anything else. It's not looking at the stuff being thrown at you. It's not looking at all of the current situations. It's fixing your eyes on Jesus because that's the answer, and that's how we know that we're holding on to him. It's just like Peter in the Bible with when Jesus is walking on the water, and you guys know all of these stories, and they're amazing because it's Peter starts walking on the water. He's doing the impossible because he has the faith and he's with Jesus. But then the moment he looks at the wind and the waves, he sinks because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And Jesus wants us to be locked in with him, not having anything else in our way. We can look to him because we can be certain in who he is. In the Bible, many times it mentions who he is. He is faithful. He is good. He is the shield. He is the lamb. He is the lion. He is the restorer. He's the anchor. He's the redeemer, the savior, the lover of our souls. It has so many aspects of who Jesus is. And if we tune into that and the promises that he has for us, then it makes it easy to just be looking to him because that is the source of who we need to be. It's the source of where we need to go. He is everything for us. But we need to know his love for us in order for us to do that. Lots of times we don't know the extent of his love. Like, how could we? We're human. We don't know the extent of his love. But he can show us bits and bits and bits until we're getting fuller and fuller and fuller if we allow him to. So if we take that time and we spend the time with him, and if we open our heart and open our heart, even when it hurts, even when it's painful, especially when it's painful to do that, especially when it's hard to just give him those pieces of our hearts that have been shattered by other people, that have been shattered by situations, by doubt, by disappointment, by fear of the unknown, by unbelief, by anything that is just, as humans, we experience easily. But when we experience his love, all of that is washed away. When I used to work with a little boy who had autism, he was 3 years old, and so I would do a lot of one-on-one work with him, but then I also worked at the little gym in Langley, so it's like a gymnastics place for kids. And so this was years ago, whenever I think about God's love, I always think about Noah, who is this little boy, and then his dad, Andy, because of the love that I saw there. Because often, like, I know that a lot of people can have issues with fathers, and so sometimes it's hard to see a father's love and stuff. But this love of a father, it just was amazing to me to see, because it wasn't a usual kind of love. Because with autism, it's a neurodevelopmental disorder, so they have a hard time with interaction, a lot of the social interaction, and there's different degrees of autism as well. So if they're high functioning, it means they can function well within the community, but if they're low functioning, then it's harder for them. But he has a hard time with communication, and then behavior that is very repetitive and restricted. So they often had this very tight schedule for him, and it was on a picture board, so he would know exactly what was going to be happening. They need that in order for them to function. And they start it very young. And so he was 3, and he had this routine. And with Andy, his dad, Noah wouldn't just run into his arms when he was hurt, or he wouldn't just go and cuddle up to him. Like when you see some kids that have a good relationship with their dad and they're just like, oh, dad, and like go and play catch, and just knowing that his dad's there, right? Like he didn't do that at all. And so Andy didn't have that, but there was those moments when he would look at Andy's eyes and then you would see that there was a connection there. So it was when I would be watching them in the little gym area, because the parents could be with their kids in it. And so it was just like Andy was waiting for that moment, waiting for the eye connection, because he'd be cheering him on and like, good job, Noah, good job, good job. Leah, let's walk across here. Like, and he was constantly talking to him, no matter what, just talking to him. And then all of a sudden, when Noah would turn and look into Andy's eyes just with this kind of smile, then Andy, it was like everything within him burst out with joy. He was like, yes, Noah, I love you. You're doing such a good job. And he was just taking any kind of second that Noah would be able to receive those words and receive the love of his dad. And he would just take it, and then all of a sudden Noah would be like, and then just go and turn the other way and walk. But Andy was waiting for those moments, and it totally reminds me of Jesus, and I love it. Because Jesus is just waiting for us. He's waiting for us to look at him and to spend that time with him. And he's that dad. And we, we're not autistic. I'm not labeling anyone. But we have that. It's a hard time because of the world. And it's so distracting. We have so many things around us. And we're just like on our way. But the moment that we look to Jesus, he's there. And he's like, okay, yes, let's do this. He says, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Like as much as he can. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're on our way. But when we tap into that, it's like all of his love can just be poured out. And it was an amazing example to see that kind of love. And if we know that love, and if we receive of that love, then we can be anchored with him, and we can be holding on to him, so that we know that we can keep holding on no matter what. No matter what happens, if we have him, we're going to make it. We can endure. And so, yeah, Just like when you're having a baby, men, I know you, like the men who've been in there with their wives or anything, but the pain is excruciating and you just want to give up. You don't want, like, I remember when I was having my babies, it was just like, I cannot do this. And I even told Stefan to kill me many times because I was just get it over with and just rip it out. Like, I'm done. But when the baby comes, you forget all of it. Well, like, you don't forget every bit of it, but like, you, it doesn't matter because the baby is worth it. And so it's like, when we finally get through the hard stuff, when we finally get over the stuff that has happened, we can look back and it's like, it was worth it if we did it well and if we went through it seeking after Jesus, because we can see aspects of his heart that we would not have seen if we didn't press into him. Because he's there and he's waiting for us and he wants to reveal different parts of himself in times of pain, in times of trouble, in times where you don't want to spend time with him because it's just too painful and you don't want to let him see those areas in your heart. There was, like, with this season, there was a big amount of time where I just didn't even want to spend time with Jesus. And I know that probably sounds bad, but Jesus was dealing with my heart throughout of it all because I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to deal with the pain. I didn't want to deal with how I was feeling because I didn't know how he'd be. Like, I did, but I didn't. And so I didn't want to open myself up to it. I was just like, okay, let's just do life. And it's easy to get distracted when you have little kids because it's just like, oh, I just have to be mom. I'm just going to do this. I don't have time today. But when I started carving out the time and waking up the extra early or anything like that, when I started to actually do it, I was seeing aspects of Jesus that I would never have seen if I didn't do it. And he's inviting us to do it. Just like Andy and Noah, he is waiting for that connection. He's waiting for that moment, even if it's a split second of, I'm going to acknowledge Jesus right now, or thank you, Jesus, for today. When we just think, oh, I'm not really, it's not making a difference. It's making a huge difference because Jesus is right there and he's like, yes, 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 I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Did you see? Did you see? She looked at me. He looked at me. He loves me. He acknowledged me. I'm there. I'm there in the midst of them. And he wants that. He wants to be there. He wants to experience and walk every step with you. The pain and the hurt. And even when it's a sin that's just, that we're just struggling with and dealing with, but he wants to take it away. He wants to help you. He wants to be there for you. And so I'm going to be wrapping up pretty quick, but right now, I know we did this with Ron earlier, just about asking for forgiveness, but right now, I just, in this room, I just, if you can, if you want to, I'm not forcing you, but if you can close your eyes, and I just want to, because Jesus wants a relationship with every single person here, and talks to all of us, I just want you to close your eyes and ask him within your heart, Jesus, is there anything that I'm holding on to that I need to let go? And so I'm just going to give you a moment. And the first thing, often it's the first thing that you hear, but sometimes you can sweep it away. But whatever you hear, even in the quietest, stillest part of your heart, Jesus, is there anything that we need to let go? And so if you have heard anything, or if you're still trying to hear, just keep asking and keep waiting if you haven't heard anything. But if you did hear something, then just repent of it and be willing to let it go. And Jesus, we're just asking you to fill that area of their life. Fill that area of all of our lives. The area that we need to let go. The thing that we're holding on to so dear. The thing that we find our comfort in. The thing that we want to run to. Fill that void. And Jesus, right now, I just pray that you would overwhelm with your love right now throughout this whole room, that people would feel your love, that they would know your love. Let your love sweep through, overwhelming us. Jesus. Jesus. If you haven't heard anything, don't have guilt or shame or anything. If you haven't heard anything, then I just encourage you to seek him at home or wherever you are when you have a moment. Just seek him and keep seeking him to figure it out and repent of it and let it go and let him in. Fill the void with Jesus. In response, I just wanted to play a song over you, but I wanted you to, it's a song of just worship. It's singing the Psalm 34, and it is amazing, and I want you to enter into it, and all it is magnifying the Lord, and it's exalting his name, and it's just focusing completely on him and who he is. And so when they play it, I encourage you, if you want to get up, then you can start worshiping. You can just enter into it. Or if you just want to sit down and relax and let it wash over you, then by all means. Everyone worships in a different way. But yeah, you can start playing it. But I just encourage you to just seek Jesus within the song too. But as we work out the...
And he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant, they'll never be ashamed, they'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, we'll be right back.
Come on, I just encourage you to just worship with this. Whenever way, if you want to stand up, then stand up. If you want to sit, sit. But I just let your heart be tuned into Jesus right now. Let your incense rise.
Spoke through lots of different voices today, but it was all toward the same thing. Will you come to me? Will you trust me? Will you have faith? Like, will you have faith again sometimes? Because you did, and you need to come back. Or, like, he's speaking to us so clearly this morning. It's overwhelming. Very beautiful. Thanks, Amanda. That was awesome. Yeah.